The court calls United States versus Parada 23-2-4-4, and the court recognizes Ms. Gassman.
Thank you, Judge Bacharach, and may it please the court. Kayla Gassman for the appellant Norman Parada. This appeal concerns the district court's denial of Mr. Parada's motion for compassionate release. The district court suggested that Mr. Parada had to provide proof of American citizenship before it would grant compassionate release, and that was wrong in at least three ways. First, being an American citizen is not a requirement for compassionate release, and nationality is not an appropriate factor in a sentencing decision. Second, the district court was wrong to suggest that Mr. Parada could only be released to ICE unless he provided proof of American citizenship. And third, the court's questioning of Mr. Parada's citizenship and identity ignores all the record evidence about who Mr. Parada is. I will try to address each of those points, but I did also want to reiterate that the district court did first find that Mr. Parada actually presented extraordinary and compelling reasons warranting a sentence reduction due to his medical conditions and heightened risk of complications and severe illness from COVID-19. But then the district court denied the motion based on the 3553A factors. And in its discussion of those factors, the district court conditioned compassionate release on Mr. Parada providing proof of American citizenship. To see this error, all we have to do is look at what the district court said. At page 193 of volume one, in the district court's order, the court said that until he can establish himself that he is in fact Norman Parada and that he is a United States citizen, that the court concluded release would not satisfy the 3553A factors.
But on the very same page, I think, in footnote 55, the judge also specifically is aware of what you just said, because she says the court acknowledges that citizenship is not a requirement for compassionate release. So if you put those together, what it seems to me to be that she's saying is that until he shows that he is Norman Parada, I'm not sure who he is. But she clearly knows that citizenship's not a requirement for compassionate release because she says it.
But it's in the footnote when she says that she also makes the mistake of implying that Mr. Parada can't be released to supervision unless he provides proof of citizenship, because she says
isn't her main concern the fact that he's used aliases in the past and just having trouble figuring out if he gets released, where he would go?
If that was her main concern, I think she should have made that her main concern in the order and her main reasoning in the order. She does mention the fact that he has used aliases in the past, and she suggests that perhaps she's concerned that he could elude law enforcement for that reason. I just don't think citizenship, requiring proof of American citizenship, is a good proxy for his ability to elude law enforcement. Clearly, we see he has not eluded law enforcement.
Well, the question is, who does he get released to, isn't it, if he's subject to deportation?
Well, that's where she made the mistake of saying that unless he provides proof of citizenship, he can't be released. Because she cites a different case, Aguilar, that did involve a non-citizen with a pending deportation order with an active ICE detainer. That person couldn't be released except to ICE. But in Mr. Parada's situation, there's never been any pending immigration proceeding. There's never been any ICE detainer. In those circumstances, there's absolutely no reason why Mr. Parada couldn't be released to supervision, where, of course, he will be supervised by a probation officer. He'll have to report his address. He has to have his address approved. He has to report changes in his address in advance to the probation officer. The probation officer visits that address. If he doesn't comply, just like any other person on supervision, if he doesn't maintain that contact, he doesn't continue to report, then there can be a warrant for his arrest, and his supervision can be revoked. So it's just not correct for the district courts to suggest that he has to provide proof of citizenship, and if he doesn't, he can't be released except to ICE. ICE has to do something. If ICE believes that Mr. Parada or anyone else is not a United States citizen and that they're deportable, they have to initiate some kind of proceeding to start that determination. That is just never, there's no indication that that's ever happened in Mr. Parada's situation. And again, the case that the district court cited for that proposition just involved very different factual circumstances. of someone who did have an outstanding removal order and an active ICE detainer. I also do want to just point out that, you know, the questioning of the district court questioning of Mr. Parada's identity and pointing to, you know, the past fact that he had used aliases, that the PSR, there were two instances where he used aliases when he was arrested. He was very quickly identified as Norman Parada. One, I think, happened when he was 18. I think the other one was when he was 21. It did not interfere with law enforcement's ability to identify him. And of course, identity, Norman Parada being Norman Parada, the person who committed this offense, was an element of the offense. You know, the court was convinced that Mr. Parada was, in fact, the person charged, convicted, and sent to prison for 27 years. You know, there were no questions about his identity in terms of he's the Norman Parada who committed this offense. He's prosecuted for it and he's in prison for it. His prior criminal history is associated with that name.
Well, it was also it was associated with somebody that was a Norman Parada that was born in New York. And the PSR indicated that the judge adopted at sentencing that that the probation officer had checked all of the New York records for someone named Norman A. Parada that was born in 1976, 1977, 1998. And the city of New York Department of Health and Mental Hygiene have no record of a Norman A. Parada being born anywhere in New York City, including Brooklyn, in those years. There's records that show that he was born in 1977. There's records showing that he was born, I think, in 1975. And so, and there's different Social Security numbers. And so the information that you point to the NCIC report, but that was part of the debate at the sentencing. That was a part of the sentencing record. So it seems to me that the judge does have legitimate concerns, certainly, that he appears to be Norman A. Parada, but she has no idea if what his age is, what his Social Security number is. And those aren't just, maybe she knows the name, but those aren't crazy, worries.
I understand that, and there certainly the PSR describes different birth dates and Social Security numbers for Mr. Parada. But as part of the compassionate release proceeding, he also did provide this 1991 commitment order to the state of Virginia, which I think is helpful because, in some sense, it is an explanation for why there is some difference about some of these dates and some of this documentation. He reports that his mother died when he was 2. His father abandoned him repeatedly to the extent that at the age of 14, he became a ward of the state of Virginia who had no family support. Not everyone knows their birth date. Not everyone. I mean, I know my birth date because my mother told me what it was. And you know, my mother was living and could tell me that. No one, you know what you're told. So I think there is an available explanation for what has happened in Mr. Parada's history and for why this early documentation is difficult to obtain. But I don't think that supports the district court's conclusion that Mr. Parada is not Mr. Parada. And there's nothing associating him with another country. His family that's listed in the PSR was all living in California. All of his older siblings were living in California at the time the PSR was written. There's nothing that associates him or his family with another country. So there's the issue of identity. I think that's an element of the case. Mr. Parada is Mr. Parada. He's been arrested repeatedly. He's been prosecuted as Mr. Parada. There is perhaps some gaps in the documentation of his birthday, perhaps his Social Security number, but I don't think any of that supports the district court's conclusion that then Mr. Parada is able to elude law enforcement or able to disappear into some other existing identity that would make it impossible to supervise him. That has just never proven true in his history when he has given aliases. There's a fingerprint. I think the significance of the NCIC card is first one that it's a fingerprint card. So when he's fingerprinted, he is identified as Norman Parada, the person in this case, as well as the person associated with the criminal history that's in his PSR. There's the district court's concern that law enforcement could lose track of Mr. Parada if he's released is not, I think, answered by requiring proof of American citizenship, which, again, we're talking about these questions of identity and some of his history about the obstruction of justice enhancement. But if you go back to what the court actually said, what the court said is the court said, yes, she had serious questions about Parada's identity and citizenship. But what she said at page 193 is until he can establish that he is in fact Norman Parada and that he is a United States citizen, then release would not satisfy the 3553A factors. I think placing that much emphasis on requiring proof of citizenship is not a factor. It's not a requirement for compassionate release. Nationality and national origin are not appropriate factors for a sentencing decision. And the fact that she's placing so much emphasis on that is, I think, also a disconnect from her other concerns about tracing or keeping track of Mr. Parada or where he would go if he was released, because he will provide a release address. There's nothing that would prevent him from being released to that address. There's nothing that would prevent him from being supervised by a probation officer, just like anyone else who's released to supervision, with all of the protective, you know, conditions that are in place that ensure that someone on supervised release can in fact continue to be monitored, and that they have to report, and that they have to provide any changes in their address ahead of time to the probation office. Given the emphasis the court did place on this issue, I think there is a very real possibility that if this citizenship issue is removed from the equation, that the court could reach a different conclusion under the correct analysis. And that's why I think it's important for this court to recognize that this conditioning compassionate release on proof of American citizenship just has no relation to the compassionate release statute or to the sentencing factors. And unless the court has questions, I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, Karen, let's stop Ms. Gassman's clock. As we're not eating into your rebuttal, Judge Seaborg, do you have any questions?
No, I'll wait.
Judge Phillips?
No, I don't, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mack.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court, Jared Magg on behalf of the United States. As this court is aware, from a procedural standpoint, Judge Robinson's opinion came out about the same time that the McGee decision was being issued, but I don't think that there's much dispute over the fact that the third factor in the McGee opinion is what is at play here with respect to Judge Robinson's handling of the 3553A factors. And in this case, the government submits that you simply cannot take Judge Robinson's statement in isolation. She was very clear about why she reached the conclusion that she did. The defendant had two felony offenses. He had a robust history of criminal conduct. He had committed the crime while on probation. She states that his past patterns of criminal history reveal the need for a sentence that reflects the seriousness of the conduct and promotes respect for the law. That alone would have, I think, established a reason to deny him the relief. But she goes on to then say that her concerns about his identity are something that, she felt necessary to discuss under the circumstances. And she had every reason to do that when she's looking at his history and characteristics.
But there's a third thing that she talks about, too, and that is, you know, she uses the conjunction and Parada's identity and citizenship. And then she says, until he can establish his identity, that he is in fact Norman Parada, and that he is a U.S. citizen, reduction of his time sentenced to time served would be counterproductive. So now you're intimating that it may be a harmless error. But there's no question that she erred, is it? I mean,
she said that
there was a question about his citizenship. I don't know why there would be a question about his citizenship. Certainly questions about his identity. I never saw anything about questioning his citizenship. And then she says, until he proves that he's a U.S. citizen. Well, nobody ever questioned. Even the probation officer never questioned that he was a U.S. citizen. So there was an error. Now, it may be harmless, but it was an error, right?
I don't know that it's an error to the degree that if you read it just objectively, I think that your point is a fair point to make, that objectively looking at the term citizenship here, But when you look at a defendant all the way back to 2004, where the court had serious concerns about who he was, I don't think that it was improper for Judge Robinson to raise the issue or question whether or not Norman Parada is in fact a United States citizen when given the opportunity to determine who he was specifically. And again, not being able to provide a valid Social Security number certainly raises a concern of citizenship in anybody's mind, particularly, you know, with a court who is looking at somebody who has manipulated the system for a number of years.
Now, why would it be fair to question his citizenship? If his name had been Smith, would it have been fair to consider whether he was a U.S. citizen? We have a lot of false identification cases in the United States. The probation officer never questioned that he was a U.S. citizen. Nobody ever, as I understand it, nobody ever had any reason to question that he was a U.S. citizen. So why is it? Why was it a legitimate consideration? Was it his last name? What was it?
No, I don't think it was his last name. And I think to answer your question directly, if he'd been Norman Smith, I think there would have still been serious consideration. Because if you look at what he had done over the number of years in using a false identification of a Nigerian at one point, it would suggest to somebody sitting in authority that he may have some serious issues. And I may have misspoken. It may have been an Ethiopian, but somewhere in the PSR, he has used the identification of individuals from other countries. You know, and so to some degree, to look at that, I think would cause anyone to say, well, there may be a citizenship issue here that is concerning. And again, Judge Robinson is not asking for the defendant to prove anything more than please tell me what your Social Security number is so we can determine who you are. Remember, that is a requirement of the probation officer, and he manipulated the system as to who he was. So for her to again continue to raise concerns about who he is, which is again demonstrated by what he has done in the past, I don't think is an improper concern on her part. And remember, too, 3582C proceedings are a continuation of the criminal proceeding. And so to the degree that she continues to harbor those concerns, I think are completely irrelevant under the circumstances, because for 17 years now, we still don't know if Norman Parada is Norman Parada. And he has done nothing to establish his identity. He has done nothing to confirm who, in fact, he is. And for Judge Robinson to raise the issue of citizenship, I think goes hand in hand with the fact of his identity under the circumstances, and is not an improper question for her to ask when she is looking at the history and characteristics of the defendant. And that is certainly an issue. And I do believe that the footnote does squarely address the issue about whether or not she understood she could not rest the entirety of her decision on his citizenship, which she clearly did not. You cannot take that in isolation. She had numerous reasons as to why she felt that Mr. Parada should not be, the sentence should not be reduced so significantly under the circumstances. But again, his history and characteristics are such a critical point or critical part of 3553A that, you know, until he can establish the simplest thing here, it's not much of a responsibility for him to provide that information to the court, a birth certificate and a Social Security card. If in fact he simply did not have a birth certificate or didn't know where he was born, he could have said that. He could have gone through the process of getting somebody from the Social Security Administration to do an affidavit. Please, you know, saying, look, Norman Parada applied for this, but the card has been lost. Anything he can do to provide to the court over the last 17 years, but he has chosen not to. He has chosen to manipulate the system, and that was a concern of Judge Robinson. And I think when you read her opinion in the totality of the circumstances, that is what she was saying. But again, I cannot disagree with you, Judge Bacharach. In isolation, that statement, I think, certainly has the concerns that you raise. And I think it's a fair point, but I don't think that when you read the statement in total, that it rises to the level of reversal. Now, if the court felt the need to reverse, I think it would simply need to reverse for the parties to address this particular issue, to present evidence about the issue, to at least assuage Judge Robinson's concerns about his identity and flesh out the issue of citizenship within that. And so at bottom, if the court is going to reverse, we ask the court not to issue an opinion releasing Mr. Parada, but simply reversing back to the district court for this issue to be addressed in more detail. Unless the court has any questions, I think this is a very straightforward question. We believe that Judge Robinson's opinion addresses the 3553A factors appropriately, and we'd ask that the court affirm her decision.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Magg. Judge Phillips, do you have any questions? Judge Seymour, do you? Okay, I think Ms. Gassman has some rebuttal time. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I do want to point out again that we are discussing these serious concerns that the district court had about who Mr. Parada is. He's been in prison, prosecuted, and in prison for a 27-year sentence as Mr. Parada with a criminal history associated with Mr. Parada. The court was sufficiently convinced that Mr. Parada is Mr. Parada to put him in prison. I don't know why he would need to provide additional evidence in order to be released from prison about his identity. I just am confused by the suggestion that the court doesn't know who Mr. Parada is. I recognize there are some gaps in the documentation of you know, the documents that people typically would provide about their identity. I don't think that supports the court's conclusion that Mr. Parada is in fact someone entirely different. The government is raising some issues that sound like harmless error, but of course it would be the government's burden to prove harmless error, and the government did not, in my recollection, even brief the harmless error issue. So first, I think it's waived. I think the government would need to show that this issue of citizenship did not affect the district court's decision, which I think would be difficult to do given the prominence that the court gave its discussion of these issues in its order. I don't think that the government could prove that there's no question that the district court would reach the same decision absent the improper considerations. And on the question of citizenship, I think it's error if the decision was even in part based on citizenship. I don't think that the only error, I do think she conditioned compassionate release on him providing proof of citizenship, but I don't think that I need to establish that it was the dispositive issue in order for there to be error. When it comes to questions of nationality and national origin, I think the court basing a sentencing decision even in part on a factor like that is improper. So I think that's important to make that point and for the court to recognize that point. In terms of the remand, I mean, I think it's clear in my brief, I'm not asking this court to grant compassionate release to Mr. Parada. I think it's clear that what the remedy would be a remand for the district court to reconsider the motion under the correct standards. And of course, you know, we would leave it to the district court's discretion about what additional proceedings the court wanted to have back in the district court. But the remedy that we're seeking from this court is an opinion that the district court made an error by relying on citizenship in the compassionate release decision, and a remand for the court to reconsider under her correct standards. And one last point that I think is important is I think I simply just disagree that we would be here if his name was Norman Smith. I don't think there would have been the same questions of citizenship. I don't think questions of identity would have led to additional questions about citizenship when there's no facts suggesting that he isn't a citizen. And I do think it's important for the court to keep that in mind and to think about that in resolving this case. And with that, we would ask the court to vacate and remand back to the district court.
Hey, thank you, Ms. Gassman. Judge Seymour, do you have any questions for Ms. Gassman? Judge Phillips? Okay. Well, thank you both, Ms. Gassman and Mr. Magg. Your arguments in your briefs and in oral argument today were excellent. We appreciate your stellar advocacy, as always. This matter will be submitted.